This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Have survived earthquakes, eclipses, presidents going on trial, presidents' sons being indicted, the world repeatedly being brought to the brink of World War III. Am I the only one that could use a little levity? We have assembled two of the most irreverent, wittiest people who have a way of looking at public affairs and current affairs in a very fun way without necessarily, you know, taking away from the seriousness in which we are doing so. First, let me welcome back by popular demand, a woman who is not only a noted satirist, but now the host of the brand new Reactivist podcast on the YouTube, which I am just loving, Marlena Schiavo. Hello, Marlena.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
It's great to have you. This is your first time here since launching The Reactivist.
Yeah, it's actually on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Right, well, I watch it on the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
I do watch it.
It's like the Bronx.
Exactly. Exactly. It is. You know, people can people can see it on YouTube.
Yes, they can see it on the YouTube.
Thank you. Yes. They should just search The Reactivist, right?
Yes.
Or are you going to make fun of me for saying The?
No, that is the name of the podcast. It's the Reactivist.
Let me also welcome a stand-up comic and one of the people that is living proof that you can be conservative and be funny, Fred Rubino. Hello, Fred.
Thank you, and congratulations, Mr. 44.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're like the Reggie Jackson of WABC.
You know, it's funny. I actually suggested to our merchandise team here at the Red Apple Audio Network that they make a jersey, a baseball jersey that looks just like Reggie Jackson's available.
Sure.
That just says Morano 44. So, although next year when I'm knocked back down to 65, people have to burn right. their jerseys. It's great to see you both. For starters, let's begin with the near-death experience we all experienced last week with this very traumatic earthquake in our area. Did you guys feel the earthquake? How did you survive it?
I survived it by being in Florida that week.
That'll do it.
It was spring break for my kids, so I was not in the tri-state area.
Fred, I know you're a Florida resident, right?
I am. I was in Florida, but I heard
Were you guys together?
No, we were not.
What part of Florida were you in?
I'm in Orlando.
Oh, I was not in Orlando.
It's now called Puerto Rico, but I'm in the old section.
All right, so neither of you experienced the earthquake.
No, you know what? I seen a lot of chatter on the internets about it, and they got like biblical about it. Like God is sending a message, New York has to repent. And I'm like, it happened in Jersey. Even God doesn't have any respect for New Jersey. It's like a threat. Hey, New York, you better straighten out. Watch what I do to New Jersey.
How about the eclipse? Were you guys awed by the eclipse?
Oh my God.
Impressed by the eclipse? What do you think of the eclipse?
So I was actually more impressed than I thought I was going to be, but I was
The last person I would assume that would say that.
Well, you know, cause I was going to ignore it altogether, but it was impossible because the school was sending out emails like you can pick your kids up from school early to ensure their safety. It was like this big, I called it the apocalypse because they made it out to be this huge thing. My kids came out of school with their heads down. I don't know what they
were
telling me.
Did they have early dismissal? Yeah.
They didn't. They said if you wanted to pick your kids up early, let the school know.
Thank goodness.
Because I
was so done with all these school districts letting the kids out early for the eclipse. So I'm glad that your kids' school actually had them leave at a normal time.
They did. But the funny thing is that it's a K through eight. So they gave glasses to the middle schoolers, but they didn't give glasses to anybody else.
They had a good run. Now it's time to not see anymore.
Right. That's exactly.
What sense does that make? They just gave it to the sixth through the eighth graders.
Yes.
So K through five, they were on their own.
Right. So all the first graders came down with their heads down, and then my fifth grader came out with a pair of glasses because her teacher was like one step ahead, and he went out and bought a set of glasses and handed
nice.
Them out.
That's
but
nice.
Then I get a phone call. And saying, can I give your child these glasses? And I said, yes. Like, you're calling me 5 minutes before dismissal. I'm like, is she coming out? Yes. But I have to get your approval before I can hand her these glasses.
Oh, my goodness.
What is happening?
Now,
she could get a sex change without you knowing.
You know,
but not glasses.
She actually.
Right. We could call her a completely different name and not let you know. But can I give her these 3D glasses?
She actually, that same day, changed her gender and got an abortion.
That's right.
And not only did they not have to get her permission, they didn't even have to tell her about it that same day.
Glasses, we draw the line there.
They made such a big deal about it. And I said, it's just if you tell the kids not to look up, the first thing they're going to do is look up. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to bring the kids' iPads with me to pick up because I know if I hand them their iPads, they're not going to look at anything except for that.
Well, but did you trust your daughter because she had the glasses given to her by the teacher to look?
Like I said, they were programmed to come down with their heads down.
Okay.
And then we all shared the one pair of glasses that were given to her by her teacher.
All right. Well, let me ask you both about the big news of the day. I guess it was the big news of yesterday. And I think the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, really spoke for all of us in expressing the country's condolences on the loss and the passing of an American icon.
Was there any reaction from the president to O.J. Simpson's death? Do you know if they ever crossed paths? If so, how, when?
So I'll say this. Our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time, obviously with his family and loved ones. And I'll say this. I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that. I'll just leave it there.
Well, our condolences go out to OJ's family, those that are still living.
This was the difficult time?
Have you ever heard a response like that?
Well,
this is a guy that was found liable in a civil judgment for killing two people and then went out after getting away with murder, literally goes out and commits an armed robbery and goes to prison. And yet she's talking about his passing as if he's, I don't know.
Mother Teresa.
Exactly. My goodness.
They'll never find the murderer. See, I know where the murderer isn't. Golf courses. Because he dedicated his life to hitting every golf course afterwards, and I assume he's looking for the murderer.
So, maybe this is an inappropriate story to share the day after he's passed away, but when it comes to OJ, how can you really say anything's inappropriate, right? So one person that I've hung out with a couple of times who is just a real character and really just incredibly engaging is Lawrence Taylor, right? Lawrence Taylor, the Giants linebacker, Hall of Fame football player, and he's a good friend of OJ's, right? So, and After OJ was acquitted, but after he got the civil judgment, he and OJ would golf together apparently all the time. And
looking for murderers.
Oh, exactly. Right. They're doing their thing looking for murderers. And apparently one of the things that LT likes to do is bet on the golf games. And so I guess on one particular game or round of golf, he was doing really well. And he shouts to OJ, "Hey, Juice, you owe me more money than you owe Goldman."
Which
I thought
was a really interesting thing to say, and then a really interesting thing to share with me, who he'd known all of 40 seconds, which I thought was interesting.
That's a great line.
Exactly. I just wonder if he had that prepared or if that was off the cuff. So that was interesting. So OJ's gone. Any thoughts on the passing of Mr. Simpson?
You know what? I forgot he was alive. So when I heard that he died, I really wasn't surprised, and I definitely don't miss it. But I just remember like that period of time, and then I just remember when he was acquitted and everybody was running around saying the juice is loose. And I just, all I think about with O.J. Simpson, honestly, is about Court TV, because that
became, you worked there.
Yeah, but I'm not at the time. I was too young to work there. But, you know, so he definitely launched, you know, trial coverage, which, you know, paid my bills for quite a long time. So, you know,
well,
that's the only positive thing I could say about O.J. Simpson.
He destroyed the Bronco.
That's for sure.
They stopped making them after him.
That's for sure. You know, it's funny. There were rumors about his health for a while, and he was on Twitter, and he was posting these videos on Twitter, and he was talking about the Raiders 49ers game back in February, and he addressed some of the rumors about his health. This is what he said.
Hey, X-World, it's me, yours truly. Boy, what a beautiful day it is here in Las Vegas. Even though the game is indoors, it wouldn't have mattered, but still, nice to have a beautiful day like this. Hey, let me take a moment to say thank you to all the people who've reached out to me. My health is good. I mean, obviously, I'm dealing with some issues. But, hey, I think I'm just about over it, and I'll be back on that golf course, hopefully, in a couple of weeks.
Looking for murderers. Yeah,
exactly. 2 months ago, and here he is.
Who's worried about OJ? Who's saying, gee, I hope OJ's okay.
Well, he had a lot of fans, a lot of people that were interested in him on social media. You know, it's funny. A little bit later on, we may talk with his former manager. Did you see the 30 for 30 documentary?
No.
This is the most fascinating documentary I've ever seen in my life. I think there's 8 parts to it. It is so incredibly compelling and interesting that you learn so much about the case, about him, and the person that really steals the show. There are two. One is his former lawyer, Carl Douglas, but the other is his former manager, Mike Gilbert. And I think Mike Gilbert may actually call in a bit later. And he shares this story in the documentary, since I don't know if he's going to be on. I'll share it now, where he says how women, even after being acquitted, just loved him. He'd go out to a bar or nightclub.
Big hands.
I guess that's what it is. And OJ would say to Mike Gilbert, he would say, how is it that these women think I killed someone and yet they have no qualms at all about, you know, trying to get with me or whatever it was they were saying? So he even was surprised at the reaction he was getting.
Maybe it's that bad boy vibe.
That must be what it is.
You know?
I don't know. All right. We talked about the eclipse and the earthquake. A lot of other, Marlene, I know you're New Jersey. Fred, were you ever New Jersey?
I'm New Jersey now.
Oh, you're Jersey/Florida now.
Yes.
I got you. Okay. So the other natural phenomena that people are talking about a great deal in the Garden State is this fireball or this shooting star over the state of New Jersey. Yeah. Did you guys see it? Did you make a wish?
Well, over Newark, anything is shooting. There's usually it's a criminal offense, you know. So I think they were just seeing Bayonne. There's usually a fireball over Bayonne, New Jersey.
Well, there was a fireball in Wall Township, which is basically, you know, was hit with Sandy, right? So, I just think Chris Christie ate too many wings that day. It's basically what it came down to.
Oh, I should mention, Marlena, you've been doing this reactivist podcast. I've seen it on the YouTube, but I'm told that it's available on other platforms as well. And I was really interested in the commentary you put up there yesterday on being a centrist and kind of being alienated in the presidential race. And it's interesting because when we first started doing radio, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I would have described you probably
as a
liberal.
Whoa.
Right?
Longer than that.
But
it was longer than that, Frank.
Well, a long time ago,
yeah.
Right? I would have described you as a liberal, and you're describing yourself as kind of a moderate.
This is the thing. I am moderate. I was always like in the middle, and I leaned left. However, my issue is during the past 4 years, like the liberals have gone absolutely bonkers, and they became woke, and I decided that they just stole the word liberal, you know, because if you don't agree with them, then you're not right. They're right. And if you don't agree with them entirely, which is totally not what a liberal is supposed to be. So I stopped calling myself a liberal.
Gotcha. And you don't like any of the candidates running for president?
Any of them. Yeah. The same two from 2020 now.
Well, I mean, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is leading young people.
Yeah, but he's not going to, nothing's going to happen there. It's going to be between Biden and Trump.
Right. So you're not voting for anybody?
No, I'm going down ballot.
Well, meaning you're only voting in lower races.
Yeah, I'm just going to skip the president all day. I'm not going to write anybody in. There's
Frank,
nobody.
Number 44.
Exactly. Hey, I'd be on it. That'd be a nice thing. And Fred, if memory serves, you're very much on that Trump train.
Yes, but you know what she said about liberals. When I was a kid, the liberals were college kids. They were educated. They had a good argument against the establishment, and they were smart people. Now it seems like they're just deranged. They make up lies. They make up stories. So the liberal from when we know liberals no longer exists.
They don't exist. And then and if you share opinions with the Republicans, automatically you're MAGA. And if you share even the slightest opinion on the left, then you're woke. It's like you can't win. It's like there's no.
Try doing radio 4 hours a day. I get a boatload of correspondence from people either saying I'm a closet right winger or a closet left winger, and they're sincere in their belief that I'm trying to masquerade as an independent.
But at least they say you're closeted and you're pretending. Like these people who've criticized me say I'm absolutely one thing or absolutely the other. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, that's interesting. Speaking of presidents, the former president. Trial is going to start on Monday of next week here in New York. This is the Stormy Daniels hush money case. Very historic. It's the first former president ever to go into court and on a trial like this.
Do you think he's gonna be sworn in on one of his own Bibles?
I hope so.
That would be great.
That would be. I hope they're all sworn in on a Trump Bible.
That's worth more. That's got to be worth more.
Exactly.
Well, it's definitely worth $59.99.
My goodness. It doesn't just come with the Bible. It comes with the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and I think the Constitution. So it's all in one book.
No ShamWow. He didn't throw that in there. That's some Flex Seal.
I think there's even a personal, I'm not joking, I think there's actually a personal message from Lee Greenwood, who sang the song God Bless the USA.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to the website to buy a Bible, it's a picture of Trump and Lee Greenwood.
Shaking hands with Jesus.
Oh, no, he's compared himself to Jesus, so.
Well, so has Mayor Eric Adams. By the way, I see so many comparisons, so many points of comparison between Adams and Trump, but we'll save that for another day. You're not buying a Trump Bible, though, Fred.
I might, because I would have to think that he like crossed out certain parts, like the adultery part and the thou shalt not steal. I think it might be like a revised Bible.
But as far as this trial goes, any predictions, any hopes, any fears?
I think that so far everybody put him on trial. They exposed so much about the people who put him on trial.
Right.
That I think that everyone's going to lose. I think he just is going to expose so many things about Stormy Daniels, about everything, just like he did in Georgia, that I would be very concerned if I was suing Trump right now.
Stormy Daniels actually already owes him several hundred thousand dollars in a civil judgment, which a lot of people don't mention. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. We're going to continue with Marlena Shrivo and Fred Rubino in just a moment. If you want to jump on board our radio soiree, you're welcome to do so at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Fred, we mentioned Marlena's Reactivist podcast on the YouTube. If people want to get in touch with you or see you in digital form, how can they do that?
You can go on Facebook. You could go just type my name in. You could type my name in and or go to my website, fredrubino.com. To see where I'm playing Yonkers this Saturday, Yonkers Comedy Club.
Cool. Absolutely. All right. We're going to continue with Marlena Shrivo and Fred Rubino straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Step out of the weekend.
27 minutes after the hour. This is a terrific song. This is Stomp by the Brothers Johnson, a Tony Atwood selection. If you ever want to know what kind of music we're playing on the show, you can join our Facebook group. Just search on Facebook, Morano Radio Fans and Haters. That's M-O-R-A-N-O, Radio Fans and Haters on Facebook. My guests are Fred Rubino, a conservative stand-up comic, and Marlena Shivo, the host of the Reactivist podcast, which is available on all major podcast platforms. Hey, do either of you watch Jeopardy?
Yes.
Did you watch it last night?
I did not.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Do you watch it?
No, I play Wordle instead.
Wordle. Okay, well, that's good. I know people are into it, Wordle.
It's much faster.
I never got into Wordle, but my father, stepmother, and siblings, they are into it like crazy. But I really enjoyed last night's Jeopardy, one, because I had my best round of Jeopardy in the first round ever. I got all but three clues correct, which is the first time that's happened. And there wasn't like a natural category for me. Like normally if there's a category on Star Trek or pro wrestling or third party presidential candidates, I know I'm going to get all those right. But usually the other rest of the categories are hit and miss. This was one of the few shows where there was no specialty category for me and I still did really well. And what I also liked is one of the clues, the answer was Morrow, and I often say good morrow, which I thought was nice. But I got this email, and I want to run it by you. And I was finally glad that this Tournament of Champions thing was finally over, because it seemed like it went on for 3 or 4 months. And I just wanted regular Jeopardy. And now finally we got it again, and with three likable contestants. And there was two people, including one radio producer and a woman who kissed an alligator. And they're all very likable, all very competitive. And this is what this email that I just got. I want to run this by you. I know you're a regular viewer of Jeopardy. Tonight, as a result of Final Jeopardy, the winner had $28,600 and the runner-up, $28,000. Very gutsy bets by both contestants. However, the winner collected all $28,600 while the runner-up received just $3,000. I know all contestants know the rules, but the system seemed unfair. Agree? What do you guys think?
You think the runner-up, she thinks the runner-up should get more money?
I think so, because they were only $600 short, basically.
I mean, no. I was on Double Dare when I was in sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
And
you threw that right in our faces.
Yeah,
didn't
my
you?
Goodness.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's a sore topic. I don't talk about it much, but because I lost, no one gave me, you know, the consolation prize. I think was a gift certificate to a toy store. So you know, and the other team got whatever money they won. So. You know, I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with I'm sour, and if you win, you get the money, and if you don't win,
yeah, I mean, those are the rules. You still
you have
get to
a
go
consolation.
On TV, you still
get 3,000. Call it Jeopardy,
right? So you
your
agree.
Money is in Jeopardy.
Right. So we're all on the same page when it comes to this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
In fact, I don't even think she should get the 3,000.
What
about that? A board game. But remember when you used to get those crappy prizes? Here, you get the Jeopardy home game.
Well,
wasn't that the old Jeopardy?
Yeah, exactly. But
I also think, like, I mean, it's like if someone, you know, is running a race or, you know, any kind of competitive sport, you know, whoever wins.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
There's right. No parade for the for, second place
yeah,
in the Super
the
Bowl.
Place,
that's right.
Yeah, the second
that's right.
Maybe in Philly, but that's it.
All right. I'm with you guys on this. I think there's nothing wrong with giving the runner-up in Jeopardy a prize. All right. It's no secret that the audience of this show does skew a little bit older, which I love. I love America's seasoned citizens. Well, apparently, America's seasoned citizens are having a whole lot of love, okay? Because STD rates among Americans 55 and older are skyrocketing, according to the CDC. 2022, there were 5,160 reported cases of primary and secondary syphilis in adults aged 55 and older. This is a huge increase from just 2 years before when there were only 3,092 and from 10 years before in 2012 when there were only 712 cases. It's not just syphilis. chlamydia cases among Americans aged 55 years and older in 2022 were thousands more than they were just 2 years before that. STD rates are skyrocketing among Americans 55 and older. Why are old people having so much sex, Fred?
I don't know.
Why are you calling 55 people who are 55 old?
Well, because that's when you
could,
you're eligible to join AARP, and you're eligible to withdraw money from your Roth IRA without a tax penalty.
I just think this story would be better if they started with like 70-year-olds. I feel like, I mean, you know, the CDC.
I'm
has,
sure they're in there.
They're in there, but I want the CDC to break it down by age.
You
I really do.
Yeah.
Well, you could do an episode of the Reactivist podcast about this.
Okay, I'll think about that. But I think, you know, I think this is just the CDC trying to bring back masking because, you know, we all know that
the mask has got to be a lot lower.
Right, I'm curious if anybody else
they didn't
has.
Say exactly.
I tell you what, I haven't heard the word gonorrhea since like the
since
70s.
Last week.
You know?
I am curious if anybody else
bachelor pod.
Has a thought on this as to why so many senior citizens are developing STDs. Is this a function of just being more sexually active? Is it a function of just being more less careful with their sexual activity? What's the story? 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222.
Well, they clearly don't really need protection because nobody's getting pregnant, so they're probably just letting it fly.
Well, they need protection from these diseases, clearly.
Yeah. But now they know.
It's unnatural. At my age, we're not looking to have sex. I'll take a good meal.
How old are you, Fred?
I'm 63.
So you're right in this
I've had chlamydia. I'd rather have a good meal at this point in time.
You know, it's funny. I used to work with a fella who had these crazy morning hours, and I was much younger at the time. And he said, when you get to be my age, you now view sleep the way that I viewed sex when I was your age.
Right.
You strategize your whole day out of maximizing the amount of sleep that you can get in a day, which I can certainly can imagine.
A hot girl eating a Cinnabon. I don't even see her.
That's very funny. Hey, I understand you, my friend Fred, are actually in town, at least in part, for PaizonCon. I can't believe that something exists called PaizonCon. Even more so, the good folks at PaizonCon were kind enough to invite me, but I have a family engagement on Sunday and I have a ping pong tournament on Saturday that I had to schedule to get out of being invited to PaizonCon. But, Fred, what is PaizonCon?
PaizonCon is a bunch of Italian-American athletes, actors, TV stars, comedians, and they just get together and people come in and meet, and there'll be meet and greets. I believe I'll be doing some stand-up, and it's just a celebration of Italian-American culture.
Do people dress up as like Guidos and stuff like that?
Like we're all black, like I'm wearing right now.
No, all three of us are in black. We got to take a photo or something. That'll be something. But
you have blue underneath.
It's Racket Report Navy. That's what it is. But anyway, I'm sorry that I can't be at PaizonCon, but I would also have been
a lie.
Well, sort of. Yeah, I also would have been a little embarrassed if people are coming to this expecting to meet real celebrities and no one wants a picture with me or no one wants
that's going to happen at my booth.
Because they said to me, oh, we'll give you a booth. And all that I'm thinking is, who would stop? I wouldn't even stop at my booth.
I'm sharing a booth.
Oh, who are you sharing it with?
With Gino Bisconti.
Who's Gino Bisconti?
Another comic that no one's going to see.
All right. Well,
we're going to have fun. It's going to be a good thing. They tried to have a Polish con, but it was February 31st. So, no.
Well, since you're telling ethnic jokes, which, by the way, if people want to go to PaizonCon and see you, how can they do that?
They could just go and get tickets, PaizonCon.com.
PaizonCon.com. Since you're working hard to get us canceled for Polish jokes, Let me ask you guys about cancel culture. O.J. Simpson is terrific in the Naked Gun movies. He's terrific.
Fantastic.
He's also great in that movie where they don't go to, I think it's Mars, right? With Elliot Gould. You know the movie, right?
No, I don't.
The name will come
sounds
to
like
me
a real blockbuster.
No, it was great.
It was
I can't believe you never saw it. A lot of people believe that's what really, Capricorn 1. Capricorn 1. You never saw Capricorn 1?
I did see Capricorn 1.
Capricorn 1 is a terrific picture.
Yes.
And he's great in it. Now, whenever a big celebrity gets canceled, either for the moment, like Kevin Spacey, or seemingly in perpetuity, like Bill Cosby, and certainly with O.J. Simpson, and now, who knows, maybe with P. Diddy, R. Kelly, there's always a debate about whether people should continue listening to their music, watching their movies, enjoying their work. What do you guys think? O.J. Simpson, who I believe is a murderer, do you think people should still enjoy his movies? Somebody like R. Kelly, who is a convicted pedophile, should people still enjoy his songs?
Yes. I don't think that it makes a difference, really. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't call the Naked Gun O.J.'s movie. I mean, he was in the movie.
He
but
was integral. Nordberg.
I mean, but I... Yeah, but... Still, I mean, you can. He wasn't a murderer when he made the movie, so you know.
Ah, that's a good point.
But what if R. Kelly was a pedophile when he recorded that song that everybody likes? I Believe I Can Fly.
I think it's too extreme. I don't like cancel culture. I think it's absolutely like off the rails, and I think that protesting anybody's. I don't know. Any of their art isn't actually going to do anything. I don't think it's going to affect the person that they're protesting. I don't think that person's going to feel the pangs. So you're kind of you're doing it symbolically, but it doesn't move the needle.
Fred,
I take things personal, a lot of things. And then when I read into that, if I see that OJ, and I do believe he's a murderer, I just get so turned off. By seeing him, it's just like you said, Jeopardy. I can't watch it without Alex Trebek. I feel so bad that he's not on. It almost like ruined it. But the other guy,
he's not on, not because they fired him.
I know, but it like personal. Like right. I look into the personal aspect of it. So no.
But if the person doesn't bounce back, like obviously OJ never came back from this at
right,
all, right?
Right. And he got worse. He continued
to get worse. But
he wrote a book. If I did it,
right?
But
come on.
But okay. How about this? How about Louis C.K.?
Love Louis C.K.
Okay. So, but he had his he. Was,
but he didn't murder. He murdered like millions of potential people.
But we're talking about cancel.
But not actual people.
Well, we're not talking about murderers. We're talking about cancel culture. People who were canceled, and then after the fact, if they make a comeback, do you then boycott them?
Well, it depends on the offense. If it's something really serious about kids, about murder,
How about Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey, I think, has largely been vindicated, right?
Yeah,
he
beat the rap.
Raps, multiple court cases so far, not guilty of everything from what we can tell. And where does he go to get his reputation back? That's a real shame. But it sounds like you're okay with watching The Naked Gun and other canceled artwork. You are not okay.
I'm not. I take it. I get into the personal aspect of people's lives.
You know, I hear the same thing from conservatives about people like Robert De Niro. A lot of conservatives that used to love Robert De Niro, they react so viscerally to seeing him on screen now because of the things that he said about President Trump and really just Trump, that they can't even enjoy a Robert De Niro movie. It kind of takes them out of the moment.
That's crazy. You see, like I said, if it's murder, if it's child abuse, so that's one thing. But if you want to spout that you hate Trump, I don't care. I love The Godfather. I love everything he did. I'll still watch every movie he makes. He's entitled to be wrong.
Right. Folks have always said the same thing about Susan Sarandon. A lot of folks that are very pro-Israel, they don't like some of the things that she said, and I've heard...
That's going too far. She went too far for me.
That's it.
All right. Low-cut blouses make up for a lot.
Oh, did you see the movie Atlantic City? That scene in Atlantic City?
Okay.
My goodness.
So, if other people wore that, I would figure. If De Niro wore something low cut, I would give him a pass.
So, Fred, so in this case, in the cancel culture case, you're not really totally against.
No.
You know, okay.
It's situationally
against. It's all situational.
There you go. Very
in- So you're MAGA and you're woke.
I don't know if I'm woke.
No.
I'm MAGA woke. That's a new term.
All right. I want to ask you guys, since you are professional entertainers, and if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Marlena Schiavo and Fred Rubino. We'll get to your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222. You're professional entertainers. I want to ask you to rate an impersonation of an entertainer, a radio commentator that we all know and love. This is an impersonation of a very popular radio entertainer, might be the 44th best in the country.
Wow.
As performed by Lou Ruffino, who is a cast member on the Sid and Friends show, which is a great show, which is the morning show on WABC in New York. And if you're listening in Baltimore or Minneapolis or St. Louis or Alaska or Tennessee or somewhere where you don't get to hear Sid regularly, he was named on this same list as the 15th best radio personality in America. But this is what transpired about 27 hours ago.
For all we make fun of Frank Morano, and some of those things are ridiculous, I agree, ridiculous. But for an overnight host to crack the top 50 on this list is actually pretty good.
Of course. Good, so. Good for Frank. Yeah. He's great.
Some of that stuff, yeah, I mean, you're not going to ever, you know, I'd rather retire than talk to Bill Shatner. But that's what he likes, so.
We're talking to the last great mafia great.
He does that.
From northern Brooklyn. Why did you decide to write a book now about hiding these guns? It seems a little bit out of sync with how the entire philosophy of mafia works.
There was a meeting in upstate New York, one of the most famous meetings. I'm dating back decades and decades ago. All the bosses, all the mafia guys were up there. And I was told that in numbers, that meeting didn't come close to the amount of mobsters Morano had at his wedding.
No, that's pretty funny. How do you rate the Lou Ruffino impression, Marlena?
I want to hear what Fred thinks first.
I give that an 8.
An 8?
I give that an 8 out of 10. I thought his content was good. I thought his delivery was spot on. I thought he could have mispronounced a few more words.
There you go. What do you think, Marlena?
I think it was a 7. I think it was an okay impression. I think Lou actually does a way better impression of Trump.
Ah, okay. All right. I thought that was good, though. I thought Lou did well. I think he captured my sort of awkward pausing very, very well. And I thought the content was good. I thought that was pretty funny. And Sid was pretty funny there, too. All right. We're going to continue with Fred Rubino and Marlena Schiavo in a moment. We're going to cover everyone's favorite subject, conjoined twins, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
It's funny how I find myself
to the top of the hour. This is No Doubt. If you want to know about all the music we're playing, you can join our Facebook group at Morano Radio Fans and Haters. That's Morano Radio Fans and Haters on Facebook. And it's also a place for people to discuss some of the issues that we're discussing. And my guests this hour have been Fred Rubino and Marlena Schiavo, both of whom I believe are part of that Facebook group. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I certainly am.
Oh, you know I'm part of that
group. That's a rough group.
That is a tough group.
I got some haters on there.
So
like,
do I.
Thank you for telling me Marlena Schiavo is going to be on. I'll be sure not to listen.
I get the same thing, and all I think is, why do you keep listening? You clearly hate everything that I do.
I don't
my
get
opinions
it.
About everything, every topic that I think, and every guest that I had. What are you still listening for? But
maybe you should lob off the word haters.
No, I love it. I get a lot of. I mean, oh. I feel bad when the hate's directed at you guys, but I think it's fine for
I
me.
I actually get a lot of hate on YouTube, on the other channel that my videos are on, and I mean, it is unreal. Like they get so personal. They don't even say.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, like some woman was like, "You have a very nasal voice, like a country singer." And some guy's like, "Well, look at the schnoz." I'm like, "What does this have to do with what I talked about?"
Yeah, that's harsh. I mean, trust me, Marlena. No one's looking at your schnoz. Believe me.
The haters.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Let me ask you, I'll begin with you, Fred. There's a huge movement around the country, California, now New York, really in various places, I think even nationally, for reparations, right? For this has come up time and again since 1865. Has the time now come to pay people a little something if they were descendants of slaves?
Well, who pays? I mean, my family came here 80 years ago from Sicily. They don't owe anybody anything. I was their slave.
Right.
I had to paint my own room at 6 years old. You know, I don't know. Where does it end? How much is enough? And where does it end? I mean, everybody could ask for reparations. You know, Israel could mail you a thing saying, hey, the Romans sacked Jerusalem right. in 70 A.D.
Right.
You owe us some gold.
I had a check ready to get sent out, and then my wife told me no, that was a scam. That wasn't real. Marlena, what do you think on the reparations question?
Has
picked up a lot of movement now. There's a committee in New York.
I'm against anything that raises my taxes, mm-hmm. period. I don't want to be taxed anymore. I'm already overtaxed as it is.
And that's the flip side of that. Now they want to say, not only reparations, but they don't want to pay tax anymore in America.
Yeah, well, I think you'll have a lot of people doing a Rachel Dolezal and identifying as black.
I'm taking a DNA test tomorrow.
Hey, look at this hair, man. I mean, if that doesn't get me a little something, I don't know what will. Okay, I alluded to the fascination with conjoined twins. The story of Abby Hensel and Brittany Hensel has captivated the world since it was revealed that these adults, one of them got married, and it's led to all sorts of questions from how they drive to how they make love and all sorts of things. First, before I tell you about this other set of conjoined twins, have you guys been as interested in the story of Abby and Brittany Hensel as the rest of the world has?
I mean, when they had their own reality show, I was captivated by the whole situation. But the fact that one of them got married and the other one isn't married to the same guy, but I don't even want to think about it. I'm actually just, it's just more disturbing to me. I can't help myself. I shouldn't say that because they're people, but it's very gross.
Aren't
to
they
me.
Actually both married to him?
Well, no,
that's
no.
what. No, apparently they're well, not.
Only but, one is married
but,
to
but,
him.
But see, that's what I wonder about the logistics. Does the other one get to go out and date? And they share reproductive organs. So I've always wondered how that works. So now, in light of conjoined twin mania, a newly resurfaced video has emerged of TikTok users Carmen and Lupita Andrade touching on some of the questions surrounding the conjoined twin community. And these are 23-year-old sisters who are conjoined at the torso and share a bloodstream. And just like Abby and Brittany, they share reproductive organs as well. So they said that we're going to do a frequently asked questions because some of you don't shut the F up on videos that have nothing to do with our bodies. So basically they said, if one of us is tired, we don't both have to be tired because we two have two separate brains. Yes, one of us can be awake and one of us can be asleep because, again, different brains. Then they talked about how they share the same bloodstream, so sepsis will kick in, obviously, within hours or days, and the other would die. But, you know, that's interesting. And they also clarified that they can't control each other's limbs or halves of the body, so they can't read each other's minds. But since they share a bloodstream, they do both feel if they consume alcohol or drugs. So imagine that.
One's a meth head.
If you really want to get even with your sister, you just start downing
a 40. Don't make me smoke more meth.
You know, everybody is so concerned with, like, you know, the dating aspect and the, you know, the... all of that, all the bedroom activity that when it comes to conjoined twins. I mean, I want a very simple question answered, which is, like, since one has the one arm and the other has the other arm, like, do they ever arm wrestle?
That is interesting. And now, so as far as the sexual aspect of this, of these twins, Carmen is currently in a relationship with a boyfriend, Daniel, and she clarified that only she is dating him. Meanwhile, her sister, Lupita, identifies as asexual, and she says she doesn't want anyone. So it is very interesting, but they can't get pregnant, apparently, because they have endometriosis and they're on a hormone blocker that prevents that from
happening. Well, if one gets pregnant, the other one could say, I want an abortion. I mean, that's a feud.
Not in 2024.
I'm more interested in their the way they interact with each other. Like, if
they get in a fight, they can't even get away from each other.
Right.
One was a Hasidic Jew and one was a Muslim. you know, that I want to see. That's a show.
Yeah, that would be. If they started debating Trump Biden.
Right. Like, what if one wants to go to law school and the other one wants to be a teacher?
Idiot. How about an idiot?
Yeah, no, I think that these are all very valid questions. I would love to get them on the show. I'm going to invite them. Roger is in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Roger, you're not a conjoined twin, are you?
No.
Ah.
Maybe they'll married one.
I noticed
one
that.
Name. You know, hopefully they both get to share, you know, him, so to speak. But the reason I called was...
The gutter, Roger. Yes, go ahead.
The reason was because the night that Justice Jackson called while you two were discussing, you know, and you asked her to define a spoon and a picture frame, My phone was on record, and I went over that a number of times. And the thing that bothered me, the reason I wanted to kind of get with you guys about it,
by the way,
is
this
that,
was a joke. This was a joke.
The basis for her
wasn't really
declining, defining was it was a different basis for each item. The spoon, she was not an engineer, kitchen appliance engineer, she said. And the other one, the basis, she said she didn't work at Crate and Barrel. So I thought to myself, well, if Crate and Barrel sold spoons, maybe they could handle both. But then I thought, well, maybe Jeff Bezos could be the official Supreme Court dictionnaire so that she doesn't have to make it up as she goes along.
Okay, just so you know, that first of all, your memory, anyway, we were not actually talking to Ketani Jackson.
What are you doing? Are you blowing up our spot here?
First the blue shirt.
You guys don't do pranks like that.
Yeah,
when I come on the show,
that's right.
That's my shtick.
I don't know what she's talking about. This is the first I'm hearing of this. Oh. That wasn't Justice Jackson.
Next thing you know, Fred Rubino is in here.
My goodness.
I thought you were Ray Liotta.
My goodness. Don't let them in on the secret that we haven't even been talking to Fred, that this is a very clever Marlena impression this whole time.
My conjoined twin is here.
On my honor, I had no idea, Roger, that was not Justice Jackson. I am as shocked as you or anybody else is about this. My goodness. All right. Marlena Shivo has been here. You can catch her on the Reactivist podcast on every major platform that does podcasting. Fred Rubino is here. You can check him out on his website. He's also going to be appearing in person at PaizanCon, which unfortunately I'm not able to be at. And Fred, I'm told by the good folks at PaizanCon that you're appearing at 5:45 on Sunday.
I'll mark that on my calendar.
There you have it. But you can check him out at fredrubino.com in the meantime. Oh, I did have to get your take on this before we run out of time here. In the state of Tennessee, they did something really interesting, is they're allowing teachers to bring guns to their job. Good idea, bad idea? What do we think?
Bad idea. My kids can't even wear smartwatches to school because they said they could detonate a bomb. So I don't think the teacher should be able to bring guns to
school.
What
do you think, Fred?
I think I went to Catholic school, and my teacher hit me with everything they had. They had rulers, books, T-squares. If my nun had a gun, I would have been pistol whipped.
Fred Rubino, Marlena Shivo, thank you very, very much. For the rest of you, in the words of the great Barry Farber, keep asking questions.